Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that Christmas Day has come and gone. We've had some really mild weather. If you're listening to this on December 26th and 27th, I hope you had a great week with your family. And it's just been a year that flew by. It just seemed like last year we were talking about 2014, and now 2015 has come and gone. And it's been a whirlwind in my life in terms of healthcare and education. Last week's show, we had Gail Brown talking about the Oral Health Coalition, and one of the great things about New Hampshire in general, but specifically as it relates to oral health, is you can get your hands around oral health. There's only 1.2 million of us. We can focus on areas of needs. When the Endowment for Health was first established, when the sale of Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Hampshire took place to Anthem, they left a sum of money in the state in the first few years. The investment portfolio was used for the oral health theme, and that created ultimately the Oral Health Plan from New Hampshire, and then subsequently the Oral Health Coalition. And Gail did a great job describing where we're very good and where we have needs. And so, for example, there are definitely underserved parts of New Hampshire, and there's definitely an area where we can improve on, and that it would be for children. Caries is the number two reason for children missing school days, and it really is the number one disease that affects children. So it's something we can do about it. And, you know, fluoridated water, go to the dentist, brush and floss in between visits, and it's, you know, oral health is solvable, which is one of the reasons why I like it, because you can get your hands around it. And I know, speaking for myself, I have four children. They were exposed to fluoridated water, took them to the dentist, they brushed and flossed. They don't have cavities. I did not grow up with fluoridated water, and so I have a mouthful of amalgam fillings. So I do recognize, you know, the importance of fluoridated water and going to the dentist. We have a great new program, by the way, called Health Rural Wellness, which basically many of our group programs have it now. Dentists have signed up for it. And some of us need three cleanings a year, some of us four. Some of us need nutrition counseling, some of us need tobacco cessation counseling. All that's covered through this new program called Health Through Oral Wellness. But this weekend with me is Gene Jaralskis, who is the executive director, chief executive officer of the McCullough-Sheffert Discovery Center. And Gene, this is our annual visit, and I always pick you to do this around Christmas time, so thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to see me on the 26th and 27th.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Tom. Thanks for inviting me.
And you and I have a long history, which we'll discuss. We'll discuss for sure. So you were open all Christmas week leading up to Christmas, and then you have something going on the 28th and 29th. So tell us how the week went and what's going on this coming week.
Well, we've had a really interesting year, and we're finishing it up with being open every single day between Christmas and New Year's. We'll be closed on Christmas, we were closed on Christmas, and we'll be closed on New Year's Day, but we are open every other day. So we're open Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from 10:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. We're going to be having planetarium shows on all day, and then this is the first time we're going to be doing this. We're going to have some workshops for kids ages 8 to 12 on Monday, December 28, Tuesday, December 29, and Wednesday, December 30th. The first day we'll do one on nanotechnology, and the second day we're going to be doing rockets, I believe. Let me just quickly peek at what.
So,
Jeannie,
so if I'm a parent of young children and they're starting to get rambunctious, is what I used to say. Can I just stop in on the planetarium on Monday the 28th? Do I need to call in for reservations or something? Or
Well, we would love it if people called ahead for reservations, but if they can't, they can just stop by. If we know how many kids are in the workshop, it's easier for us to have all the materials together. But we're ready to go. We've got our Space Grand interns in the Discovery Center ready to welcome kids for making rockets, making robots. The workshops start at 9 in the morning, so it'd be great if you could bring your kids by at 8:30 in the morning. And it's great for parents who are working because their kids can be actively involved in some great science and engineering all day long.
Awesome. And you have a cool new website, right? Starhop.com?
Yep. And on the website, right on the front page, you can see the workshop. So you can click on that and find out more.
Now, as you know, we're neighbors, Northeast Delta Dental, and I'm all during the year I see a plethora of school buses parked on the side in their designated parking spots, which is really cool as I'm jogging in the NHGI campus. So how many students visited in 2015 and how many schools and the school districts were involved?
You know, I'm not sure how many school districts were involved. A lot, because we had 9,400 kids come through on
wow.
school field trips. And that ranges in age from pre-kindergarten all through 12th grade. We're not counting the college students who came. They come on a different program. But we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we've got kids coming in from all over New Hampshire and Vermont, Maine, and Massachusetts. And then there's one group that comes all the way down from New Brunswick every spring.
Wow. And as you know, I'm chair of the State Board of Education, and this is what we call real-life learning. I really think that the, I'm going to call it Sheffrey Discovery Center, it really is in the catbird seat, because this is where, you know, modern learning, you know, takes place. So it's great to see such a vibrant set of students, you know, coming in and learning. So how do you, given that, you know, the internet is so accessible to students, how do you differentiate what you see at the Planet Discovery Center versus, let's say, what someone can just go online and see on their own computer?
Well, let's see. If you are at home, there are some great programs like Starry Night, where you can find out about the night sky. But looking at them on a computer screen is very different from having you're sitting in a theater with a 40-foot round dome and feeling immersed inside the universe, and having someone with a PhD in chemistry or organic chemistry or astronomy talking to you about the night sky and answering all of your questions. We're able to bring in planetarium shows from around the world, and so when you see Neptune coming right at you, or when you can go to the farthest distance of human knowledge about the universe and then be back in time for supper, that's a really amazing experience.
That's really cool. And I must say that you described it very well. I was in Chicago not too long ago and those went out to a planetarium there. And I have to say, ours is better, Gene. Of course, part of that is New Hampshire pride, but I was just thinking back. People were pretty impressed that where I was in Chicago, but our local one is better. One of the things I want to spend a little time on, I know the summer has come and gone, but can you tell us about the summer STEM camps that you had? Of course, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, math, and there was a governor's task force on STEM, and there's a lot of work that a lot of organizations are getting behind to further the science, technology, engineering, and math initiatives in New Hampshire, both at the state board level and at the business level. But it sounds like you did your part with some summer STEM camps. So tell us about that, Jeannie.
Sure. We ran summer STEM camps from the beginning of July through the middle of August. We were able to have some very bright young college students studying aerospace engineering and commercial space technology and architectural engineering work with us to develop camps for kids on rocketry and 3D printing, having maker labs where kids could design their own aircraft. And we had workshops on coding, so kids could learn some very basic coding that would enable them to boss robots around, little robots, and have course challenges. So we had kids ranging in age from 5 through 14, not all in the same workshop because we wanted to really gear to their physical and intellectual levels. But it was just a fantastic summer. The workshops would go on all day, and we'd have kids trying all kinds of challenges. And one of the wonderful things we were able to do, too, through an organization called the Safran Foundation, is we were able to bring in a lot of the new American kids into the workshops. So talk about your hands-on learners. These kids came to the U.S. from all over the world. A lot of them are Bhutanese and African. And they just had a literal blast learning about rocketry and learning about the U.S. space program. And I think that that may be in some of their futures, judging by what I saw in the workshops.
That's super. After commercial break, we'll talk about our goals for 2016. But we have about 90 seconds before the commercial. Can you tell us about the program for military families and how that worked last year?
Sure. We, again, for help from our friends, Speedway Children's Charities and Merrimack County Savings Bank Foundation, we were able to have military families involved in a program where we called We Share the Same Sky, where we could take a look at the night sky and places where the children's parents are or have been deployed, and look at what the night sky is like there, and look at the night sky in New Hampshire, realize it's the same sky, and look at the constellations that they could see, whether they were deployed in Afghanistan or the Philippines or wherever they may be in the world. And that way the children could share a little bit with their families.
How cool is that? That's awesome. And okay, so as a reminder, this coming Monday, the 28th, is a workshop. So if they bring the your children in there by 8:30, or go on to starhop.com to do advanced registration. There's also one on Tuesday, the 29th. With me is Jean Jaroskis, who is the executive director of the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center. We'll return after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me this weekend on December 26th and 27th is Jean Jaroskis, who is the longtime executive director of the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center. Jeannie's agreed to join me the 26th and 27th, and hopefully everybody enjoyed a nice Christmas day and spending some time with your family. And Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to everybody. So, Jeannie, let's get right to it. So you have this workshop coming up on Monday, the 28th and 29th. But let's take a step back and talk a little bit about your history on how you got to New Hampshire. And I feel like, oh my God, you and I go way back like almost 20 years because we recruited you. And then we'll talk about the new board leadership. And then we'll get into your goals for 2016. So how did we rope you in from Alaska? Can you remind the listening audience of that story?
Well, let's see. I was I started out at Ketchikan Museums, which is a museum that there are two museums. One is Totem Heritage Center, which has a collection of 19th century totem poles and a Native Arts workshop series, and then Tongass Historical Museum, which has basically the history of Ketchikan and Southeast Alaska. So I was in charge of all of the exhibits and programs in both museums and had really enjoyed my life there. But I have always been interested in astronomy, and I had been thinking about moving back east because my son was 12, and I was thinking that the education is so strong here in New England that I really wanted my son to go through his junior high and high school years in New England, where I grew up. So I was thinking about heading this way, and I had originally been thinking about working in a history museum, and then I saw this wonderful opportunity that could combine my love of museums and my love of astronomy, and then I met you and the team, and
we wanted you here, and here you are, like 20 years later. This is really awesome. I'm really, really happy. That was a really good move for New Hampshire to have you here. done a great job. You've seen a sort of an evolution of the planetarium to the McAuliffe-Sheffer Discovery Center. And why don't you talk about some of the new board leadership, and also that people don't realize now, you know, most, if not all of this is now through private funding. So let me maybe explain that to folks.
Yeah, well, we have a nonprofit board, and we just had elections, and Paul Burkett is our new chair. And now Paul Burkett, some of you may know him as an attorney at Rath Young Pignatelli, but you may not know that he also is a graduate of the Naval Academy in Annapolis and was a submarine naval officer. So how cool is that?
Wow.
And then Trish Boucher is a CPA at Nathan Wexler. She's our new treasurer. We have a great new head of Nominating and Governance Committee, and that's Walt Havenstein.
Yes, I heard that you got Walt, so that's awesome.
Yeah, he's also a Naval Academy graduate.
Yes, he is.
And he was a colonel in the Marine Corps. Then he was the, well, not right then, but eventually, he was the CEO of BAE Systems.
And then he ran for governor.
Yeah.
We're actually going to get Walt. You mentioned Southern New Hampshire. We're getting Walt to speak at a leadership conference that we're doing in April. So that's great. I hadn't realized he was engaged. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we have some new great board members. We have a woman named Laura Provo, who is a partner in Altus Investments. And Brian Cross, who's an account executive at Cross Insurance. And then Steve Murphy, who's the vice president and CFO of Associated Grocers, is now heading up our development committee.
Great. Now, speaking of development, of course, this is New Hampshire, and so people always ask me, okay, so there's a fee to get in, and you know, this sponsorships and so forth. But how do you make the numbers work nowadays?
Not easily.
Now, I know it's a challenge. Yeah, I know. You're amazing. You're amazing with what you do. But tell us
about it. Well, we are a nonprofit now. We've been around for 25 years, so some people don't realize that the first 22 years we were part of the state of New Hampshire, but in 2013 we became an independent nonprofit. So 2016 will be our fourth year as a nonprofit. It's been very challenging. The transition was very fast, but we made it through the transition. We're still open, going into our fourth year. We're doing some wonderful things. But we really need to lay some groundwork to make sure that this museum that was inspired by Krista McAuliffe and Alan Shepard is still around for everyone's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
I love your thinking. That's what I always say. We have this jewel right here, and we've got to make sure that it's here for the long term. So on the website, starhop.com, are there the membership fees listed there, as well as sponsorship opportunities?
Yes, we have a button right at the top that says membership and another one that says donate. And we'd love people to grab either one. Being a member means that you can get in free to the Discovery Center all year round. And if you have a family membership, your family can come. We have a gold membership, so you can bring family and friends. And then you also get admission to hundreds of other science centers all over the world if you're a member of the Discovery Center. So it's a great benefit. The other initiative that we've started is called Reach for the Stars. And what we're trying to do with that is to get people to pledge to become a part of the Discovery Center supporters for 3 years. And that way, that gives us some sense of what's coming down the pike so that we can plan our exhibits 3 years ahead of time, plan our programs, and not just be thinking about what's coming up next week, next month, next year, but to be able to start laying the groundwork to have a sustainable operation that has at least 3 years of predictability to it.
I like that. 3 years of predictability, 3 years of vision, so you're not worried about, you know, next week. You can really look at things in the long run, which is great. So tell us, you have something called the gallery activities and the kids workshops. Tell us what those are about.
Well, we have an observatory, and of course, it depends on whether it's sunny out or not, whether you can go into the observatory. But we're hoping that we'll have some sunny days this coming week so that in addition to being able to try out our different hands-on exhibits, people will be able to go up into the observatory, and we've got two telescopes that look at the sun in different ways so that you can see sunspots, and you can also see flares coming off the sun, great big wild balls of gas way bigger than Earth coming off the side. So that's one of the things we'll be doing. We've got the workshops, and then we'll also be having people trying out different science and engineering activities, and we're going to be developing those even more in 2016, so that anytime you come to the Discovery Center, in addition to the interactive exhibits and the docents that help you work with them and the planetarium shows and the observatory, we'll also have small engineering and science workshops going right on.
Great.
Right on through the day.
Glad you mentioned the docents. So the website is starhop.com, and I urge everybody to become a member. I can't believe the number of people I run into. They said, geez, they've never been there, and they've been in New Hampshire resident their whole life. I think that's kind of the way. So get out there, become a member. If you're in a position as a business to become a sponsor, please do so. Again, that's starhop.com. One other question I have is, if I want to do a little retreat with my employees, if I have a small or a large company, by going on the website, would there be a contact information so I know what the rental arrangements are?
Oh, sure. The best place is to look at the Plan Your Visit section and look for private rentals on the right. And you can, we've had proms, we've had
weddings, right?
Weddings, proms, bar mitzvahs. We even have people stay over all weekend. We've got lots of scout groups that spend the night. And then this year, this past year, we've started being part of the campaign trail where some candidates have rented the facility for their town meetings.
Perfect.
So that's been pretty fun.
That's awesome. I have four sisters, and so we had a mini family reunion, and we went there. It was fantastic. So, of course, this is a real exciting time in space science. So tell us, you have something called the Superstellar Friday program. So tell us what that's all about.
The first Friday of every month, we have four things going on. One is general admission to all of our gallery exhibits. But we also have a group of astronomers who have set up their telescopes outside. It's going on 26 years now, the first Friday of every month, where they set up the telescopes and you can look at the night sky and see all of the wonderful things that are out there, provided it's good weather. Then when you come inside, we're having a series of workshops for teens only in our Unitil program room. And then in the theater, we have scientists and engineers coming here from all over to talk about all of the wonderful things that are going on with Earth science, space science, commercial space systems, all the different look at Pluto, what we're finding out.
So is Pluto now, is it a planet or a glorified moon? Can you help me on that?
Well, technically it's called a planetoid or a dwarf planet.
Okay, good.
But it's just a definition. It's still Pluto, and it is just awesome.
Good. I'm glad, because Pluto was always one of my favorites. So, okay, so this coming Monday the 28th, we've got the workshop, as well as Tuesday the 29th. Thinking way ahead, parents, you're never too early to think about summer camps. That information is also on starhop.com, and there are many after-school programs. So, Jeannie, if you'd say, what's the one thing that has changed dramatically for you besides the organization going from state to not-for-profit in the close to 20 years you've been here, what has then that been? The discovery that Pluto's not a planet, that it's a dwarf planet?
Yeah, I think that people's interest in what's up in the night sky is just building and building. I think it started with Hubble.
Yeah.
And it's just with the new findings, like who would imagine that just a few years ago, my grandparents lived in houses with dirt floors, and now we have sent a spacecraft billions of miles away to go just a few hundred miles off the surface of the most distant planet that we've known of.
And we can see it also. That's right. I thought you were going to mention the Hubble. That's perfect. All right, Gene Jaralskis, longtime executive director of the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center. Thank you for joining me this weekend. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. Again, workshop 28th and 29th, starhop.com. Become a member, become a sponsor. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.